Live and local. Mornings with Todd Sargent. For our sponsor, Harvey Norman Computers, Rutherford and Bennett's Green.
And as I mentioned a little while ago, it's something that I've never had to deal with, but 1 in 10 Australians suffer from asthma, and something that's popped up over the last couple of weeks that I've never, ever heard of. I don't know whether it's a new occurrence or not, or we've just put a name on it, but thunderstorm asthma. What is it? I thought we'd get to the bottom of it and have a chat to Dr. Peter Walk, respiratory physician at the John Hunter Hospital. Peter, good morning. I've not heard of this term before. Has it been around, or is it just basically a case of someone's finally put a name on what's happened?
Good morning, Todd. Look, it has been around for quite some time and is reasonably well described as well, both in Australia and overseas. Obviously, the recent events that occurred a few weeks ago in Melbourne were really quite tragic and brought a lot of this to head once again. But there were quite well-described episodes of thunderstorm asthma back in the 1990s. Both in Wagga and in Tamworth were two fairly important episodes that occurred, and certainly for those communities caused very, very similar sorts of problems on a somewhat smaller scale. But the issue, of course, with Melbourne is a bigger population and a lot more people could be affected in that way.
So what actually happened? What things had to come together to cause this phenomenon?
Look, in spring and summertime, people who are allergic to certain things, particularly in Australia, certain grasses like ryegrass, are at risk of both their hay fever and their asthma getting worse anyway. So even with your standard sort of thunderstorm or change in the weather, we often do see an increase in asthma symptoms and hay fever symptoms as well. And sometimes that can be reasonably severe in that more people present with problems to emergency rooms. So usually it's not on such a dramatic scale. When we start to talk about thunderstorm asthma, it's often a quite severe event that needs a number of factors to come into play for it to be triggered. Mostly these are, in fact, weather factors or meteorological factors where you've got a large supply of pollen that starts to get into the air, and if you've had a nice wet winter or spring leading up to it, that there's a lot of grass pollen that's around, and that's certainly been the case at the moment. And then you need the changes that you get with particular thunderstorms, and it's quite a humid sort of environment at the time will cause the pollen granules themselves to swell, and when they get sucked up into the atmosphere and then suddenly exposed to cold air, those pollen granules can explode and release thousands of even tinier particles as well. When the weather changes and then there's that sudden cold change that you get with a thunderstorm, all that cold air can be pushed down very, very quickly in a front that rapidly moves through an area. And that then releases all of these pollens, and people who have an allergy to them are suddenly exposed to very, very high levels of pollens that if you are allergic, you will react to. And for some people, that can be severe symptoms of hay fever or, unfortunately, severe symptoms of asthma.
You know, the reports I've been reading that so much kudos has gone out to the emergency services personnel because there were concerns that this could have been a very large tragic loss of life. So what you're saying is it's not necessarily dependent on an area. How are we situated in the Hunter Valley?
Look, we've had episodes ourselves in the past as well, but on a smaller scale, and that perhaps has more to do with the geography of, say, Melbourne or Wagga or Tamworth and how they're placed at the ends of plains and things like that, which I'm probably really not an expert to discuss. But we've even published a similar sort of report back in the late 1990s that happened in Newcastle, so it was on a much smaller scale.
One of the great things about the internet over the last 20 or so years, so many different warning sites, you know, whether it's fires, whether it's floods. Pollen count, for example, are there any opportunities people who do suffer from asthma? Because I feel so blessed that I'm not, and I don't even suffer from hay fever, so I know what that can be like as well. What can you do if you're an asthma sufferer, if you're not sure whether conditions are right for this kind of thing? Where can you go to and who can you talk to?
Well, the big problem is you're really never going to be completely sure that a thunderstorm that's going to happen is going to cause this sort of phenomenon. So listening to weather counts and pollen counts is probably not going to be the way that we would need to deal with this. It's all well and good, of course, to issue warnings and perhaps for emergency services to consider these things. But if you have hay fever and asthma, the best protection that you have is regularly and appropriately treating your underlying condition. Now, if you have asthma, this is particularly the case. And adults are probably more affected than children, though that's not exclusive. But people with asthma who wheeze and have problems particularly associated with springtime allergies really need to be using their preventer on a regular basis. And we know that probably about one in four asthma sufferers do not use their preventers regularly, but that is probably associated with your best protection against severe asthma and severe reactions to things like thunderstorm asthma, or for that matter, other weather phenomena or other things that will trigger your asthma off, such as virus infection. So regularly taking your preventer puffer, often even just a very low dose of inhaled corticosteroid, will protect you from these very severe events.
Well, let's hope we have seen the last of the thunderstorm asthma. Peter, thank you very much for your time this morning.
You're welcome.
An explanation, as I said, I had never heard of it before. Dr. Peter Walk, respiratory physician at the John Hunter.
2NURFM 103.7.